Before we start, I have two announcements. First is for the people who are going to the Open Embedded Workshop tomorrow, check your email for the new location. It has changed. The second announcement is related to this talk. Those are the chocolates. Who has been to two of my previous talks at FOSDEM? One was yesterday, and the other was this morning. Not too many. It didn't work. But there are still people. So I'm going to give those chocolates to the first person I've seen who attended three talks. Then you organize yourself to show chocolates. People who attended two talks qualify also. Who was that? It was you. And then you start passing the chocolates to other people.
Okay, thank you.
So, formally, you haven't attended the third talk yet, but we are going to start, right? And there are still people coming in. This is going to be a personal selection of events that happened during the last year in the embedded space, with a few categories like regulation, cryptography, and so on. Mostly I'm not giving exact dates because that's not that important, but you will have in the slides later on that you will be able to download links to various talks, events, and the like. So, I was thinking a long time what I'm going to start with. If I'm going to start with regulations or I'm going to finish with regulations. During my talks, finishing with regulations usually means that then I have an hour talking about regulations in the question and answer section. So I'm going to start with regulations and hopefully I'm going to forget all your questions. But who am I? I'm Marta, I do embedded security and I talk a lot during all of those conferences. So where do we start? We are going to start with regulations. Yeah, regulations. So the regulations, the big regulations, that the regulation that we have going on for the embedded space in this is the Cyber Resilience Act. Most of people here are in Europe, so I'm going to test it again. Knows the Cyber Resilience Act well? Raise your hand. Okay. Who has heard about it? Way better. Okay. Oof. Okay. So, Cyber Resilience Act, mandatory cybersecurity requirements for all embedded products. It's already in place, but all of the conditions apply in December 27. And what happened in 25 about all of that? There was a work on standards, and first set of standards have been seen by people other than people working on them. The big reminder is that standards are non-mandatory, but in practice, especially in some categories, you will actually need them. There was a first review round for quite many of them and still continuing for the vulnerability management horizontal. And there is a common problem going on with the CRE standards affecting especially embedded and small companies, that it is still not clear if they are going to be available for a fee or not. Especially taking account that you have three horizontals that apply to everything, and then you have 40-something verticals. If you want to buy them, it's 150 Swiss francs. P piece. So this budget. So the discussion is going on, and some people do not want open source people to talk about this anymore, but we do. Then the second subject is the European Vulnerability Database. So this is even more funny because there is an obligation to report exploited vulnerabilities and security issues in all products starting September 26th. That's this year. And the really funny thing is that the site where you will be doing that is not, that part is not even in beta yet. So that's interesting. The data database itself that the theory assumes you are going to use to check your products for vulnerabilities, it is in preview. But that's still a lot of work on it. And then in December last year, The Commission has released a FAQ answering some of the questions that the community was asking them to clarify for a very, very long time. And it's long. Important clarifications for embedded people. It is on the support period. The support period is the number of years during which you need to release security updates for free for all of your products. And the clarification is that the start of that support period counts from the moment the manufacturer sells the product, not from the end of design, not from the moment you fork the Okta or Buildroot to support that board, but it starts from the invoice date of the manufacturer, which may be, so if you have one batch, there's a part of the batch on the shelf, sold later. There's the support period for that part of the batch runs from the moment they are actually sold and not put in the warehouse. So that's pretty important, and they confirm that the risk assessment is the only line of defense that you have. The specificity of CRA is that it's a risk-based approach, so there's no checklist of the features you expected to have. You expected to have a risk assessment, and it's the risk assessment that will be giving you the checklist. And a lot of responsibility that comes from. So I did a presentation about risk assessments. But I do not link it. Okay. But I link to the FAQ so that you can have a look. There will be at least one more on open source, but I don't know when. So what also happened in 2025 on the embedded market now? There's more awareness about the CRA, that's really, really clear. And if you work on embedded products, I recommend you to do a try and ask your vendors to provide their CRA plans. Because if in 2027 they are unable to affix the CE mark on their product, the new CE mark with the cybersecurity requirements, you have a pretty supply chain problem because you cannot integrate that product, that component anymore into your product. Better to ask them before if they are preparing. And some vendors are even starting to provide SBOMs on their websites. That's the real revolution. The disadvantage of the fact that companies are starting to be aware about the CRA is the misinformation. So I've seen basically all false informations about the CRA online. Uh, including presentations of certain features as mandatory under the CRA, while they are not. So be really, really careful about what your vendors tell you. And there are some vendors that are claiming CRA compliance already. I do not claim CRA compliance for my products yet, because at least I do not know how to report those damn exploited vulnerabilities to ENISA yet. I'm missing at least that. So if someone is claiming that, that's orange getting into red sign. And then a checklist for you to check if you are ready. We are not going to play with hands at this stage, next year. The first important thing is if you have an update system for your products, because that's one of the bases of the conformance. And then if you can receive vulnerabilities of your products easily by users, and then you know how to handle them. That includes updating your products. If you have started thinking about risk assessment, I guess that people will start writing those things this year. Here is the link to my talk last year about the basic of risk assessment for embedded. Okay, now a little bit lighter subject, cryptography. That apparently is really controversial, even more controversial than CRA, it seems, when I posted on social media. So, the quantum computing. As a background, algorithms for post-quantum cryptography has been standardized. What it means that they are normalized, they could be used, and what is post-quantum? You have probably heard about quantum cryptography. If and when cryptography shows up, it will be all the public key algorithms that you have, including your SSH keys, they will be really easy to break. But with the current knowledge, it doesn't break symmetric algorithms like AES. It is that subtlety that it does break certain things, but not everything that we have. The current estimations about when it can happen, they vary. The optimistic people are saying in a few years, less optimistic people say in a 10 to 15 years, and some people are saying that is never going to happen. That is a nice risk assessment scenario, because when it happens, you are going to have devices in the field. Right? And many of you are already writing or working on devices that will be in the field in 15 or 20 years. The question is, what do you do? You may already reserve RAM and flash space for those extra libraries that will have those algorithms to eventually update further. Or you already link the cryptographic libraries in, assuming that for product that you ship today, there's no hardware acceleration for those things. It's going to show up in a few years, probably. From the good side, also on the post-quantum, OpenSSL has support from the current LTS of basically everything, and they missed the window for one of the paths for the signature validation that is available only in 3.6. So if you want to add post-quantum to your products, you can, There are other crypto libraries working on the support of post-quantum at different stages. So post-quantum is a risk assessment exercise. What do you do? Either you do nothing and you may wake up with devices in the field that have completely broken authorization, for example, or you start adding those libraries in your products. And here I will play with hands. Who has already looked into post-quantum here? Oh, really? Nice. So on the tools side, first on the typical tools on the compiler side and my security side, there is now F-hardened option in GCC that is combining some of the nice hardening options that you have. So why not to use it? There are also hardening improvements on different platforms in LLVM. LLVM doesn't have F-hardened yet, but they are discussing. We'll see. The second big subject, of course, in the field is the move to memory-safe languages, also coming to embedded, so with the notable event being the end of the Linux Rust experiment. And I know some vendors of embedded products that they are rewriting their stacks in memory-safe languages. And then we also have AI. That can be used to accelerate development. It can be used to find vulnerabilities in the product, or submit completely bug reports. Depends. And there are talks about the subject all around the FOSDEM, so I'm not going to get into the details more on that. On the dependencies and SBOMs, what do we have here? So, okay, of course, I'm going to ask a question. Who is already generating an SBOM? Okay, less than a half. Okay. So it is currently working in the Octo project. It's working in Zephyr. It's working for some RTOSes. And even some SDK vendors do provide SBOM. I haven't looked yet how accurate they look. But they are unresolved problem in embedded. I did a whole talk about this subject this morning. So if you try to merge SBOMs, for example, for multiple processors into one, do analysis on that. That's becoming those days really complicated still. And we have unresolved problems in the SBOM land. One of them is how do we handle patched software? It's pretty common in embedded. And how we handle naming of forks. There's no good solution in there. Another tendency that we have a lot in embedded is that people copy code, like libraries or just files somewhere. And then other developer needs to deal with that 10 years later because, of course, those files haven't been updated for the last 10 years and nobody was aware that it was there. And then we have our favorite Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and other stacks that are running processors internally with big software stacks on them that have a lot of open source libraries on them. And we'd like sometimes to have an SBOM to have an idea how much vulnerable they are, especially if they are providing connectivity. And that's also a very interesting and unsolved problem. This year, I have also seen a lot of attention on bootloaders. A bootloader is something that is very close to your hardware, and it can write to the memory wherever it wants, right? And they can, if you can compromise, if an attacker can compromise a bootloader, then they can compromise the whole of your embedded system. So there are two interesting talks. I recommend you to have a look at this at the slide deck. One about hardening Verbox and other about finding vulnerabilities in U-boot. And I think that this is going to continue as a tendency over the next year too, because there's a lot of work to do, and also on those lower level parts of the stack. And then on the vulnerability side, I wanted to show you a tendency, a choice of three vulnerabilities that affect that were discovered last year and affect embedded. If you have a look at the short descriptions, all of them are related to the code parsing data that comes either from a remote service or is given by the user. So those are not memory safety issues. Those are issues of parsing actual messages that could be controlled by attacker. We've known many embedded devices that we're trusting everything that is being sent to it. No, not a good choice. So to wrap up, there's a lot of going on. We have regulations, we have changes in cryptography, and I see more and more interest in security subjects. For example, at the Yocto Project Victoria Summit, we even had a separate track on security, something I've never seen before. So that's pretty interesting, and there are a lot of security talks at different embedded conferences, so that's, I find that's good. I will be doing series of such talks to resemble information from different subjects. If you have something that should show up in a future edition of such a talk, I'm easy to find online, let me know. So, do we have time for questions? Maybe.
Thanks as ever, Marta. Just going back to manufacturing and risks and obligations. If we produce OEM hardware with a software stack that might be Octo or Zephyr on top of that, we sell that into vertical markets as our product to them, and then they sell on, box it up, and sell it as part of their service. Does that mean we're both manufacturers and we both have manufacturing obligations? Or how does that split out, and what do we need to be doing as we sell on before something actually hits as an end product into the market, if that makes sense?
So first, I'm not a lawyer. A lawyer is somewhere else in this room. So if I understand the situation correctly, there is, you are manufacturing devices and selling them to your customers, then they are repackaging, adding stuff and selling that again. In my opinion, you are both manufacturers because you are putting devices on the market and they are also putting devices on the market. So in my opinion, you are both manufacturers. I didn't manage to people stop thinking about CRA. Okay, maybe another question.
We are out of time.
We are on time? Okay. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
So thank you all for coming.